the faith of the centurion. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd, following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together before we look at this passage. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence with us here. We thank you that we are free to meet together, and we thank you for your word, your gift to us. Help us by your spirit to understand it, to hear what you're saying to us this morning. Amen. Yesterday, you might know or you might not, was International Women's Day. So congratulations to the women. You've had an international day. Have you enjoyed it? I don't think there's an International Men's Day, but I'm sure probably the people who have Women's Day would say, well, you don't need one because every other day is yours or something like that. I don't know. Dangerous ground. I'm all for it. 2 days ago, it was the International Women's World Day of Prayer, which the two sit together, where all around the world, women gathered for church services to worship God, to hear his word together. This happens every year, it happened all over the world. And there was a Salisbury service as well at St. Thomas's Church. And I went to it. And as I arrived at the Women's World Day of Prayer service, the lady giving out the service orders looked understandably hesitant and a bit surprised by my presence in the church. And in the moment of hesitation as to whether or not to give me an order of service, someone else looked at me and she said, "It's okay. Let this man in. He is Jesus." So I glided into the church. To give you a little bit of context, I had been invited to go to play the part of Jesus in the dramatized reading, just so that you understand that there was no halo or floating or anything like that. But actually, it put me in mind of what we've been looking at in church over the past few weeks, because we've been looking at stories from Luke's Gospel. And certainly 2 weeks ago, we looked at the account of Jesus calling the tax collector Levi to become one of his followers, and then ending up round at Levi's house for dinner with a whole group of people who were sort of seen as sinners and dubious characters, and somehow Jesus had managed to just gain access to a group of people who otherwise might not have got to know him, or who people had written off. And we see that over and over again in Luke, this idea of Jesus just by his very being, by the words he spoke, by his actions, just breaking down barriers, crossing divides. And we see something very similar in today's reading as well. And actually, it's a reading which is full of surprises, and we're going to think about those surprises this morning and try and think what might they mean for us as well this morning. So here's this centurion, and a centurion was a Roman officer who was in charge of 100 people, hence the name centurion. And so he's a Roman military man living in Israel, and so as far as the Jewish people were concerned, representative of the oppression that they were under. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, that anyone who even associated with the Romans, as far as a lot of Jewish law was concerned, were considered unclean. So here's a guy who you would expect not to be on good terms with the local Jewish people. As far as he's concerned, there's this Jesus who he's heard all about, everyone's heard about Jesus by now in this area. He's the talk of the town. And then there's him, and there's a dividing line between them, because Jesus is a Jew and this man isn't. But his servant is sick and about to die, and we don't know why, but this centurion is absolutely sure that Jesus will be able to do something about it. So what does he do as he finds himself on the wrong side of this thick line between him and Jesus? Well, unusually, this centurion actually has some Jewish friends. Actually, he was incredibly popular with the local Jewish people, so he sent his Jewish friends to speak to Jesus on his behalf. Given the animosity between these two groups and the political climate at this time, this was a surprise that a Roman soldier would find such favour amongst Jewish people. We find out a couple of verses later that actually this centurion has been kind to the Jewish people, perhaps unlike other people in his position, and he's helped them to build their synagogue. So he's honoured who they are, he's honoured their religion, he's even helped his cause. So he doesn't feel he can go himself to Jesus, so he sends the Jewish leaders on his behalf. And so to surprise number two, the Jewish leaders plead earnestly with Jesus. They say, "This man deserves you to go and do this for him. He's been good to us. He's a friend of the Jewish people. He has helped to build the synagogue." They're trying to twist Jesus' arm to persuade him that this guy is worth crossing that dividing line for. Their assumptions would have been no different from that of the other people in this time. So maybe it would have been a surprise to the onlookers, to the Jewish leaders themselves, maybe even still to the disciples who were on this steep learning curve, that Jesus does in fact go with them and sets off to the house of this centurion. The crossing of boundaries, the bridging of two separate worlds, emerges again as a theme in Luke's gospel. This is what Jesus has been doing so far and what he goes on to do. So we might reasonably now expect that Jesus is on his way to the house and he's going to heal the servant. We've seen healings already in Luke's gospel. That's perhaps what we expect is going to happen. But there are, of course, more surprises to come. The centurion now sends two friends to intercept Jesus, saying, "Lord, don't trouble yourself." And there's a surprise in itself. So far in this passage, no one, the Jewish leaders, haven't called Jesus Lord. No one has used that title for him. But here, this centurion calls him Lord. It's a kind of confession of who Jesus is, of his authority, of his power, of where the centurion stands in relation to Jesus. And then he says, "I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I've not come to you personally." He sends his friends, and his friends reveal what the message that he sent. So Jesus is there, and he's got the Jewish leaders saying, "This guy's great, he's brilliant, he's fantastic. He really deserves you to go and heal his servant. You need to go." And then on the other hand, the man himself sends a message saying, "No, I'm not deserving, I'm not worthy. You can't come to my house." It's a good job on this occasion that Jesus doesn't listen really to either. The opinions of other people about this guy, the opinion of himself, he is worth it, he's not worth it. Jesus just goes to minister, to bless, to heal, to do what he wants to do. He's not swayed, his arm didn't need twisting by the Jewish leaders. And similarly, he wasn't put off by the message that "I'm not really worth going at all." In spite of feeling unworthy to be in Jesus' presence, the centurion believes that Jesus can heal his servant. And this is the next surprise, that he believes he can do it without even being there. So far in Luke's Gospels, the healings we've seen have been Jesus present with people. Here, for some reason, this centurion, this guy from the other side of that dividing line, not only calls Jesus Lord, but believes that he can heal from a distance. This is incredible. It's a surprise to us. It was a surprise, I think, even to Jesus. One translation even says Jesus was surprised. Others say he marveled. Our translation today said he was amazed. This is a staggering level of faith that we see here. So much so that Jesus publicly commends the faith of the centurion. To his Jewish audience, he points out that this is more faith that has even come across amongst Jewish people. It's another massive sign in Luke's gospel that Jesus is for all people, that his kingdom is for all people, to cross boundaries. And this account really foreshadows a momentous occasion a few chapters on in what Luke writes when he gets to the book of Acts. He tells us about another centurion. This one's called Cornelius. And God speaks to Cornelius, and God speaks to Peter, and sends Peter to Cornelius to share the gospel. This was a big deal for Peter because it meant crossing this boundary to someone who wasn't a Jew with the message of the gospel. It takes several verses for that story to unfold as we kind of see Peter wrestling with what's the right thing to do. But perhaps he would have thought back to this story and thought, that's what Jesus did. He crossed those boundaries. This story whets the appetite for the kingdom of God being radical and expansive and controversial. And maybe the final surprise is the actual healing itself, not that Jesus healed, but the way that he did it. Actually, he doesn't go to the house. He's not present with the person who's healed. He doesn't send instructions, he doesn't give a commandment, he doesn't pray a prayer. There's no physical contact at all. The centurion says, say the word and he'll be healed, and they go back and he's healed. Through the Gospels, Jesus heals in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes he used mud on people's eyes. Sometimes he commanded sickness. Sometimes he sent people off. Sometimes he used the traditional healing pools that were there already in Jerusalem. Sometimes he used his own saliva, which sounds bizarre, as part of the healing process. There's no prescriptive way that God heals. There's no sort of X plus Y equals healing with God. What a surprise that this person was healed in the way he was. So what might these surprises mean for us today? Well, the first is about God's grace. You don't need to twist God's arm this morning. You don't need to present your spiritual CV, which persuades him that you're worth a blessing or a healing or some help. That's what the Jewish leaders were trying to do. They were trying to say, he is worth it. God knows you. It's not performance-related grace. It's free grace. What about that word Lord that the centurion used? A word which meant so much. It said so much about how he saw Jesus, that he really trusted Jesus. He knew enough about Jesus to trust him fully, to know that he was worth obeying. A chapter earlier than this, Jesus is talking about that word Lord, and he says to people, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Interesting, isn't it? The next story we have, someone calls Jesus Lord, someone who we wouldn't really expect to call him Lord. Is Jesus our Lord today? Do we see him that way? And what about faith? Jesus commends faith, and faith clearly plays a big part in what is going on here, as it does in other stories of healing. Jesus from time to time says to people, your faith has made you well, after they've been healed. I've really struggled with that phrase for many years, actually. The idea that faith could make somebody well. Because I've always kind of thought, so if I don't see people healed who I pray for, does that mean I didn't believe enough? Or was the problem on my end because I lacked faith? And there are personal stories, and you might have them as well, about disappointments over what God has and hasn't done. And we can sometimes think, well, is it because we didn't have enough faith? Well, I don't think in this story the centurion starts out the story with a very fixed idea of what God will definitely, absolutely do. He just knows that the person who he needs to help him is Jesus. And his faith is what gets him to Jesus. It doesn't start saying the centurion was absolutely sure that God would heal his servant in this way. It just says that he wanted Jesus to do it. He believed he could. I think about it like this, and you can tell me this is wrong afterwards if you want. But imagine someone wakes up one morning and they feel ill. They feel pretty under the weather, and they decide they need to get to the doctor's. And it's a long way to the doctor's surgery, and the weather's really, really bad, so they go, and they don't have a car. It's too far to walk, so they get on a bus, and a bus actually has just driven past the road. As honestly, you can't see this. I said the word bus, and a bus just drove up the road. Amazing. BMW. No, it's a Citroen. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I can't stop looking out the door now. What was I saying? So the bus. So this person gets on the bus, and the bus takes them to the doctor's surgery. And they go in, they explain the symptoms, the doctor's concerned. The doctor diagnoses something life-threateningly serious for this person. And very quickly they're able to treat the person, to operate, and the person's life is saved. And the doctor says, you can fill in the medical details yourselves, by the way, for those who know about these kind of things. The doctor says to the person, you can go now, that bus has saved your life. Now, of course the bus hasn't saved the woman's life. The doctor has the skill and the expertise of the surgeon and the ability to diagnose and the person being in the right place. That's what saved the person. The bus didn't really, but the bus was absolutely instrumental to the process. And I wonder if that's perhaps closer to what Jesus means when he says your faith has saved you. It's not that you kind of gritted your teeth and believed enough and it happened. That's kind of auto-suggestion, and that's not biblical. But this is just a trust that in spite of what might be difficult, in spite of barriers, faith gets someone to the person who can heal. Jesus is the healer. Jesus heals this person in an unexpected way. But it's Jesus who does it. There's no guilt or commendation on the part of how much faith someone had for Jesus' healing, just that it gets someone to where Jesus is. So God's grace is free to us this morning. There's a challenge to recognize he's our Lord, to be ready to obey him, just as a military person would obey their commander, to trust their directives. I encourage you to have faith this morning. Not the kind of faith that gets you whatever you want, but the faith that gets you to Jesus, in spite of all the reasons why today you might think that's hard for you to do. And finally, an openness to what God will do as you come to him. He took people by surprise in the way that he healed this morning, and maybe God wants to surprise us a bit by what he has in store for us. We're going to worship together. Maybe there's something in there that you need to speak to God about, to invite his spirit in, to receive that grace without a sense of having to twist his arm, to know that you're loved, to commit again to being his disciple, to calling him Lord, to being open to what he has for you, or to ask for faith. You know, faith, the Bible says, is a gift. Maybe you need to ask God for a gift of faith this morning. Why don't we stand? Lord Jesus, we see your generous compassion again in this story. So many times already in this gospel, we've seen you at work, being a bridge between communities, softening barriers, challenging people, bringing healing. And Lord, we stand before you this morning with all manner of different needs. Give us the kind of trust that the centurion had, where he knew that the best place for him to get help was from Jesus. And so too this morning, we acknowledge that our help comes from you. In you alone do we put our trust. In you alone do we find refuge. In you alone do we find healing and forgiveness. Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister to us as we spend time with you, as we worship you. Thank you, Lord.